We lost one of the very best of us this morning. Gord was my friend, but Gord was everyone's friend. It's who we were. Our buddy Gord.
On October the 17th, Canada's Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, gave this response to the news that one of the country's most revered musicians, the founder of the group The Tragically Hip, Gord Downie, had died after a long illness.
We are less as a country without Gord Downie in it. I thought I was going to make it through this, but I'm not. It hurts.
Trudeau was visibly and openly upset during his tribute to Downie. His face strained against the tribute he was attempting to give. His cheeks were wet with tears. They captured something of the national mood at the news of Downie's death, whose outpouring at the singer's illness had been palpable for some time. A so-called farewell concert the Tragically Hip gave in Kingston, Ontario, has become one of the most watched live television broadcasts in Canadian history. Justin Trudeau has cried publicly before while in office. He famously wiped tears away during a meeting with refugees to Canada from Syria's civil war. But at times of national significance, what impact does it have when a leader sheds a tear in public? Sasha Eisenberg is Monocle's Washington correspondent.
I think we're always looking for an opportunity to see politicians sort of in an offstage mode, some moment where they're, you know, not performing as a leader either of their government or their country or their party, and crying is this sort of expression of weakness. It's showing vulnerability, and it goes against a lot of, I think, what we come to expect for leaders when they're in performance mode, when they're expected to be strong. So people are really drawn to these moments because it often suggests a politician losing control.
When in 2011, Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai gave an address that was broadcast live on national television on the state of the nation, his words became overwhelmed with emotion, a departure from the usual poise Karzai has demonstrated so consistently in public life before. The commentary that arose was divided. Some characterized his tears as a show of weakness. Others responded to the speech as a moment of genuine despair for a nation in an apparently intractable situation.
I think that the worst thing for a politician is to cry after their own loss or something where it seems solely as though they're feeling bad for themselves. That's sort of unjustifiable no matter how authentic it is.
Perhaps then it's the moments when politicians don't cry in the face of a dire situation that a nation in grief or in shock can get most solace.
And from high schoolers at Columbine, and from first graders in Newtown, first graders.
When Barack Obama gave his response to the shootings at an elementary school in Sandy Hook in 2012, it's the image of him wiping a tear away as he paid tribute to the 20 school children who'd been killed that day that in many ways heightened the gravity of what had taken place that day in Connecticut.
Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad.
That emotional address from the White House preceded the most concerted effort of Obama's presidency to reform gun ownership in the United States, an effort that, ultimately, has resulted in little real change. Sasha Eisenberg again.
I mean, if there are things in public life that move politicians to tears, I don't think that they should be afraid to show it. I think some politicians are so mannered that any type of expression is read cynically, and so if you were giving advice to a politician, I think it would be, you know, make sure that you're not going to end up in any position sort of accused of trying to be manipulative or disingenuous with your tears.
You know, I have so many opportunities from this country. I just don't want to see us fall backwards. You know, so.
There's a danger when it is a politician crying about themselves. And there's the sort of famous example of Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire right before the primary in 2008 when she was doing an event at a coffee shop, and she was asked, this is after she had lost in Iowa and her campaign was thought to be on the sort of verge of total collapse. And she was asked by a woman, you know, how do you keep doing it? The woman sort of talked about how difficult her life was and then sort of asked Hillary, how do you keep this up? And Hillary broke down crying about how much this means to her to keep on fighting for people. And I think that it was seen to be a little self-pitying. I think that there's a danger, even if it's sincere, that you come across not just as weak, but that there's a little bit of narcissism involved with it.
Crying in public for a politician can be similarly fraught to moments when a politician tries to tell a joke. If it seems forced and falls flat, then, especially in a world where missteps are shareable online within moments of them taking place, then it can become as much of a millstone as it was an attempt to make a genuine connection. But there are moments when, like at San Diego City Hall in 2007, the then mayor gave an emotionally charged political address when he announced that he'd reversed his position on same-sex marriage, stating that, following years of opposition, he now supported it.
The arrival of the resolution to sign or veto in my office late last night, please excuse us, forced me to reflect and search my soul for the right thing to do.
In a world of political leadership that seems distant in so many ways from the reality of the lives on the ground of many of their constituents, shedding a tear at a moment when you or I are shedding a tear too might be among the most striking symbols of understanding that a leader in high office can offer. When it becomes hard to imagine a particular leader shedding a tear at a significant moment, surely it's then that they become most distant from us.
I felt very, very badly about that. I always feel badly. It's the toughest calls I have to make are the calls where this happens. Soldiers are killed.
For Monocle, in Toronto, I'm Thomas Lewis.